There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Live sport. This is The Grill
with Tom Urquhart.
Exclusively on Dubai Eye 103.8, where we, you, and the world of sport gets to have a say.
Final hour of the show. We'll get the latest from Bournemouth. Early kickoff in the Premier League. They're taking on Manchester City. Also building up to our 6 o'clock kickoffs. We'll be down to Newcastle very shortly to get some team news ahead of our feature game at 6 o'clock, which will be Newcastle against West Ham. Do stay tuned for Manchester United against Leicester City. Also live here on Dubai Eye straight after that. It ain't all about the football, although we will bring you goals for the first half an hour of goals from the Bundesliga. That kicks off at 5:30 local time here in the UAE. We're also keeping an eye on all the rugby championship top 14 action and Currie Cup action for you, plus build up to the Women's Rugby World Cup final later on. We'll be over to the US for build up ahead of tennis's US Open, which starts on Monday. We've also got live updates from Spa. Qualifying's just come to a conclusion. We'll tell you who has taken pole in Belgium in just a few moments' time. Plus, keep an eye on the cricket for you. Day two live down from Headingley. We'll have all the latest there as Jimmy Anderson looks to hone in on those 500 test wickets, plus leaderboards from the Northern Trust and Maiden Denmark. This is The Grill, live from Brest.
This is The Grill. Get in touch via text on 4001 or tweet us at Dubai Eye Sport.
10 minutes remaining at the Vitality. Chris McCarty.
Yeah, good game this. I've really enjoyed it. It remains Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 1. Pep Guardiola has called for the cavalry off the bench. Sergio Aguero entered the fray about 10 or so minutes ago. He replaced Bernardo Silva. That was his first start, the Portuguese, following his big money move from Monaco. And we've just seen Leroy Sané enter the fray. He has replaced Gabriel Jesus, the man that did bring a little earlier Manchester City level. That was after Charlie Daniels' quite extraordinary finish. A goal that you will be seeing repeatedly over the coming days, and easily, and I'm nailing my colours to the mast early this season, one of the contenders for goal of the season. So into the final 8 minutes in this one, it remains Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 1 on a beautiful summer's day down there on the south coast.
Stay tuned to find out who qualified in pole. That's concluded down at Spa for the Belgian Grand Prix tomorrow. That's coming up in just a few moments' time. I can tell you they're back out at Headingley. West Indies trailing England by 121 runs with 7 wickets remaining. They're 137-3 chasing down England's first innings total of 258. Keep it locked here on Dubai I-103.8, your official Premier League station here in the region. Why? Because at 6 o'clock it's a must-win game for two teams in the Premier League. It's Newcastle entertaining West Ham. Chris McCarty.
Indeed it is, yeah, and that's the match that will garner most of our attention from 6 p.m. and I can tell you the man that will be commentating on this one for TalkSport International and on Dubai 103.8 from 6 p.m. it is Richard Connolly, and he now joins us live on the line. A very good afternoon to you, Richard.
Good afternoon, Chris. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, my friend. Great to have you on the show. Looking forward to this match this afternoon. I've got to say, when you looked at the 6 o'clock or 3 o'clock kickoffs on the horizon, on the agenda today, there wasn't really many games that jumped out. Newcastle West Ham does, though, because, and I know I'm maybe over-egging this one given the fact that it is only August the 26th, but already we've got two managers in the shape of Rafa Benitez and Slaven Bilic who are under just that little bit of pressure.
Well, I suppose, yeah, in the rarefied atmosphere of the Premier League, losing your first two games will do that to you a little bit. I mean, I think from Rafael Benitez's perspective, the Newcastle fans are still tremendously grateful to have him. The pressure, in a sense, is due to the transfer dealings that the club has perhaps not quite been able to secure during the off-season. They've let another couple of players go, with Emmanuel Riviere and Sime de Jong departing back to the Netherlands. So is there going to be some late cash to come in to reassure Benitez and the fans? He's been talking about strengthening right the way through the off-season, but hasn't done so to the levels that he would like. And I guess losing away to Huddersfield, who finished below Newcastle in the Championship last season, was disappointing. For West Ham, well, you could forgive the early defeat to Manchester United, but then the Southampton defeat was disappointing. Equally, they had Arnautovic sent off in that game and came from two goals down with 10 men. So it's early days, but clearly neither side has started the way that they would wish to.
I just want to stick, if we can, with Newcastle. They are the home side this afternoon. You mentioned that there are one or two problems in the relationship between Rafa Benitez and Mike Ashley. It all comes down to this project, this word project that Rafa Benitez has used, not using it so much now. Is it a simple case, Richard, that Mike Ashley has broken promises made to the Spaniard earlier in the summer?
Well, I mean, that's a conversation that the two of them will know the intimate details of and are difficult to determine from afar. But clearly, I think Benitez's ambitions for the club to spend would be in excess of what the club has actually spent so far. They brought Jacob Murphy in from Norwich for £12 million. Christian Atsu's come in from Chelsea for a little over £6 million. He was there on loan last season, of course. Florian Lejeune, who's injured, a defender from Eibar, cost a little more than £8 million. Hosselu from Stoke, we're going to see him later because he's in the starting 11 for the first time. £5 million captured. Dwight Gale is not available for them today, so we'll see exactly what he brings to St James's Park and Javi Mankiw. I'm interested in Mikel Merino, actually, the young midfield player who's come in from Borussia Dortmund on loan. So they've not forked out huge money for him, but he's definitely a talent, and he could be somebody that could compete well in the Premier League this season. But yeah, clearly Benitez had designs on Mike Ashley writing a few more checks with a few more zeros on them, but it hasn't happened just yet.
Yeah, one team who has spent a bit of money is West Ham United. Slaven Bilic has been backed this summer. Javier Hernandez, I guess, the headline grabber. Marko Arnautovic, you've already mentioned, sent off last week in that defeat to Southampton. Joe Hart, Zabaleta, have you been impressed what West Ham have done this summer?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody has been impressed because the players we know, the players have experience of playing in the Premier League. There's a certain reassurance about the names that you've just mentioned. And I think for West Ham fans, there's an excitement too about the signing in particular of Hernandez because he has been somebody with Manchester United, with Real Madrid, with Bayer Leverkusen, who we've been used to seeing in the Champions League and actually scoring plenty of goals in the Champions League. And for him to arrive into the West Ham ranks, that certainly brought a thrill, I think, to those who'll be attending matches at the London Stadium throughout the course of the season. We've already seen what he can do with those two poaching goals against Southampton last week. So I think he is the quality forward on show today. And personally, I'm expecting West Ham to be the better of the two teams. But we'll see how it goes.
Okay, team news from you, Richard. I've got to ask you for your opinion on one of the big breaking sports stories or football stories this past week. The news that Wayne Rooney is to retire or has retired from international football. What did you make of that decision? Do you feel it's the right one for both Rooney and England moving forward?
Yeah, I do. I do, actually, yeah. I think Rooney clearly has a new lease of life playing for Everton, but he's at the stage of his career, of his life, when he's ready to step back from the glare, the spotlight of the international scene. I mean, he was the captain, he was the absolute central figure, has been for England for a decade. And even if he hasn't been the captain, he's actually been the one that all England fans have looked to produce something magical for more than a decade. I mean, you go back to Euro 2004 when he burst on the scene. And I wouldn't be surprised if that had weighed on his shoulders. Frankly, he never performed at an international tournament the way he did perform at that first one at Euro 2004, which is why certain fans, and I count myself as one of them really, would look at him and say, well, he never quite lived up to our lofty expectations that he created back as a teenager in those days. But now he knows he's not going to be a guaranteed starter, and I don't think he should be either. I mean, there are young players coming through. Somebody like Dele Alli could play in the number 10 position for England for the next decade, and it's right that Gareth Southgate gives those players their head. So I think it is the right decision for all concerned.
Yeah, very well said, Richard. Of course, Everton take on Chelsea tomorrow. For the immediate future, though, you are concentrating on St James's Park proceedings over there. It is Newcastle against West Ham. Before I let you get on, Richard, team news, what is the big news coming out of St James's Park this afternoon?
Well, from Newcastle's perspective, I suppose it's that Dwight Gale is not available. He's unwell, so Hosselu will start up front for them. £5 million signing from Stoke, as mentioned. For West Ham, a couple of lines, really. You mentioned Arnautovic being suspended today. Jose Font is dropped down to the bench. He's played the first two Premier League games of the season, but James Collins, who came in their League Cup win during the week and was man of the match, is going to replace Font in the starting 11 today. Edinilson Fernandez also starts for West Ham, and a couple of players coming back from injury who are on the bench to take note of for the Hammers, Cheku Kouyaté and particularly Manuel Lanzini, because he injured his knee in pre-season and haven't been involved yet. But if you've watched the Premier League over the last season or so, you'll certainly be aware of the qualities that the Argentinian player has, and West Ham fans will be delighted to see him returning, and I'm sure he'll be involved at some point.
Yeah, top man, Richard. Looking forward to this game. It is Newcastle against West Ham. You are in the commentary booth for that. We'll be crossing over to you live, 6 p.m. here in the UAE. Enjoy the game, my friend, and we'll catch up with you again soon, OK?
Good man. Cheers, Chris. Bye-bye.
That is Richard Connolly there. Fantastic to have him on the line. Newcastle West Ham, but as you were, I think, about to say, Tom, all of those goals available from 6 p.m.
Indeed they are. Let's hear from the two respective managers for our feature game at 6 o'clock. Let's start with the home manager, Rafa Benitez, who, well, he's saying that his team, he and his team, can't dwell on past results.
Obviously, after the defeat the other day in the Cup, a lot of people disappointed, but we have to move forward quickly. You see the draw. And then you say, listen, what we have to be sure now is the next league game is our objective, our target, and then try to get 3 points. That's it.
Those are the thoughts of Benitez. The man that he has to try and outfox today is Slaven Bilic. He's been asked in the build-up to this one if three away games to kick off the season because of the World Championships at the London Stadium, if that is to blame for the poor start.
We would love to have one home game in between or whatever. It makes you more comfortable, but it is what it is. It's going to even up by the end of October, or it ain't going to stay like that till the end of the season, you know. But no, okay, we don't have a point from the two games. But then if you go like that, two games, 0 points. Yeah, but if you say two away games, then if you say the first away game was against Manchester United, that I wasn't happy with the way we played last 15 minutes. But let's say they were good or they are good. And if we were talking about the second game at Southampton, that there are really, it's not like full story, there are really a lot of positives from that game towards us. So we should be in a very optimistic way.
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti. The best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Let's just quickly go over to the Vitality early kickoff in the Premier League. Dying seconds of this one, Chris McCarthy.
Yeah, it is dying seconds. Into the final 20, it's Manchester City on the attack. This one, a little, it's just threatening to boil over a little. We've seen Harry Arter and Raheem Sterling exchange words. Sterling actually just picked up a booking for fouling Harry Arter. I think there was a little bit of retribution in that. That was after Harry Arter, the Bournemouth midfielder, was just having a little word in Raheem Sterling's ear. We've also seen Pep Guardiola and Eddie Howe clash on the touchlines. Manchester City, though, still on the attack. Charlie Daniels, the man who gave Bournemouth the lead, he's just headed behind. So this could very well be the last attack for Manchester City. If they don't score from this, that will be 4 points dropped over the course of this past week. Of course, a 1-1 draw with Everton on Monday night at the Etihad Stadium, and it could be well followed up by a draw here. But Kevin De Bruyne is with a cross. It's punched out by Asmir Begovic. Mike Dean does not look at his watch. This one going on. So we're into the 6th minute of added time. Manchester City still on the attack. Looks as if Bournemouth will clear this away, and it does look as if it will be a draw in this one. So Manchester City look as if they'll have 5 points. And as I say that, Bournemouth are through here. Oh, here we go. Bournemouth are through. He's got to pass the ball there. He's got to have passed the ball there. Joshua King, he just pinched the pocket. I think it was of Vincent Kompany. He had support to his left-hand side. He didn't choose to pass. And my goodness, Bournemouth, they should have really moved the ball past there quicker. Mike Dean is waving play on, so I'm just giving you the final few seconds of this one. There's crazy tackles being thrown in. This has been a really enjoyable lunchtime fixture, this one. A fantastic tackle there, but I do think, is that a foul, Ainge? Given the foul, as I would say, it is full-time result. It isn't. So we're into the 7th minute of added on time now. Can't quite believe that this match is ticking on. I think Mike Dean has just added a few more seconds after having a word with both Pep Guardiola and Eddie Howe on the touchlines. As I say, that was after they got involved in a spat. I'm not quite sure what it was about, but it was a spat nonetheless. And just as I say this, it is a goal. Would you believe it? Manchester City have stolen it. My goodness, that is the beauty of football. The City fans are onto the field. My goodness, Bournemouth just seconds ago needed to move the ball left. Joshua King kept hold of it. Oh, Eddie Howe, he's got his head in his hands. He's rubbing his eyes. He's got his hands behind his head now. He can't quite believe it. City fans, well, there's a riot almost, I think, at the Vitality Stadium. Bournemouth players cut dejected figures. Joshua King there is just, I think, frustrated at himself that he didn't pass the ball on. But it is Manchester City in the 97th minute who have stolen this victory. This, dare I say, and I know we're only in August, these are what championships are built on. They haven't played that particularly well today, have Manchester City. We talked about the strength of their bench. We're watching it now. Kevin De Bruyne into Raheem Sterling. He moves out wide right to Danilo. It comes back to Sterling. It's a horrible goal, really. Raheem Sterling on the penalty spot. He takes a strike. It loops off the foot, I think, of Steve Cook, if memory serves. Let's see now. I think it's Steve Cook. In fact, it isn't Steve Cook. It's one of the other ones. It's Andrew Sermon, the midfielder. It loops off the back of his heel. Asmir Begovic is rooted to the spot. It loops into the far corner, and Manchester City have stolen it. Bournemouth 1, City 2. We're looking at Pep now. He's jumping up like a little kid. There's a few. He was heading towards Eddie Howe there, wasn't he? Directing that one to Eddie Howe, I think. There's still one or two things being said on that touchline. Make no mistake, though, City have stolen it. It is Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 2.
Extraordinary scenes down at the Vitality. What about scenes from Spa? We've just seen qualifying for the Belgian Grand Prix. We've been keeping you in suspense because it's time for us to cross over to motorsport and Formula 1. Journalist and broadcaster Damien Reid joins us live on the line. Damo, tell us how qualifying went.
Good afternoon, lads. Yes, it's going to be a proper race on our hands tomorrow. It's Lewis Hamilton who's taken his 68th pole position of the year, equaling Michael Schumacher's all-time record of 68 pole positions. And he took that from 0.2 seconds off Sebastian Vettel, who just managed to sneak across the line after getting a toe off Kimi Raikkonen towards the end there. 0.3 behind him, Valtteri Bottas in the second Mercedes, and then the second Ferrari of Kimi Raikkonen. Kimi's been dominating all weekend in practice, but had an awful qualifying session, but still managed to bring it home in fourth place. And then the two Red Bulls of Verstappen and Ricciardo, fifth and sixth. But an outstanding qualifying session. These cars are so fast now. We're looking at qualifying previously 149.9 from Rosberg last year. And, they're doing 143, 142, mid-142s now. Incredible. The fastest lap, average speed lap, set today since 1970, but Chris Amon set on the old track. So these cars, dynamite fast.
And in terms of the taking of that pole, is it right that he's now equaled the record for pole positions in F1?
Yeah, that's it. So he's sitting on 68 at the moment. It's also he's starting his 200th race, a Grand Prix tomorrow. And it's a big weekend for the Schumachers because it's the 25th anniversary of Michael's Formula One debut, and he's where he's got his first race. So Corinna Schumacher and Michael's son, Mike Jr., are both there today, and Corinna actually sent a message out onto the grid saying that Michael wanted to congratulate him on equaling the pole position of 68 and wished him the best for tomorrow. So that was quite a nice point that was given during the post-qualifying interviews this afternoon. But yes, that is equal at 68 pole positions.
It is a fantastic achievement, that, from Lewis Hamilton. Obviously, you now make him the favourite. He will start from pole tomorrow. But, of course, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, do we, Damo? Because Lewis Hamilton has a history of poor starts when he's been when he's done the hard work and got himself on pole.
Yeah, you're right. And, I think the cards have to be in their favour because, as we said just before the qualifying session, they're starting Mercedes installed, new engines and new turbochargers on both the Mercedes. And, of course, during the qualifying session, you can really turn them up quite safely and get a maximum power out of them. So they have to be on form and favourites for tomorrow. Ferrari are on their last engines in this cycle. They get their new engines next weekend at the Italian Grand Prix. So it is looking fairly good for a Mercedes result tomorrow.
Dima, we can't let you off the hook. I've asked every single person today, including the milkman, what they think of the big fight happening in Vegas. Who are you putting your money on, big man?
Look, I tell you what, I can't wait to watch this tomorrow morning. I know I've got the Irish stock behind me, but I really can't turn my back away against Mayweather. I mean, we're talking about a guy who was undefeated in right up to now, and looking at it, I mean, if it was in the octagon, it might be different. But we're looking at it in the ring, a guy who's undefeated against Conor, who's coming in making effectively his debut in the boxing ring. You really can't put your odds against that. I think it'll be Mayweather tomorrow morning.
So we've got a prediction for tomorrow's fight. We need a prediction now for tomorrow's race. Is Spa the sort of course that you lead from pillar to post? Is it a good passing course? Will Hamilton be not only in pole physically, but is he a favourite to win tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, this is an amazing circuit to pass from. There's lots of passing opportunities. The cars are on maximum throttle for 70% of the lap. It's one of the good old-style tracks with fast corners and everything else. So you need to have the car set up properly. You can get amazing slipstreams and toes down here, and we've seen that before. So, you know, it could be up. There could be some upsets during the course of the race. But I think with the power that the Mercedes engines have got this weekend, and as Chris pointed out, if Lewis can get away with that start, I think it'll be a pretty strong race. But, you know, the Ferraris are so on form and Vettel is so strong. I think it's going to be an amazing battle, but I do put my money on the Mercedes for tomorrow's win.
Demo, appreciate your time. Thanks very much indeed for putting us in the picture. It's the Belgian Grand Prix tomorrow afternoon. Make sure you keep it locked on Dubai Eye 103.8. We'll keep you in the picture in the lead up to it and, of course, results as soon as it concludes. Talking of results, we've got one from the Premier League.
Yeah, we do. What a game. What a game that was. Literally, our Manchester City fan, our resident City fan, has now gone. He's gone home happy because Manchester City have stolen victory down at Vitality Stadium. It finished Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 2. What an ending to this one. Raheem Sterling scoring in the 97th minute. It was a scruffy goal, but City will take it. We're just watching replays here. It wasn't a free kick for me in the lead-up to the goal. I've got to be honest, I thought it was a fine tackle. That being said, City get the ball. They get on the front foot. They work it beautifully. The goal goes in. I should also point out Raheem Sterling sent off in the dying seconds of this one. He was already on a booking that he picked up just seconds before scoring the goal. In actual fact, after coming together with Harry Arter, he then celebrates. And I think it's the celebration that actually earns him the second yellow card.
Going into the stands.
Going into the stands, that's it. He is inciting the City fans, really. They're obviously ecstatic, excited with scoring such a late winner. And because the police are involved there, they're trying to keep the fans off the pitch. And Mike Dean, the referee, has taken the decision that it's insightful. And essentially, he has sent Raheem Sterling off. So, really, he's hero to villain, but he is really the hero because he scored the winner and City win.
Pep Guardiola, not a happy man. Will be interesting to get post-match analysis and reaction on that very shortly. We're going to take a short break when we come back. Going to talk tennis right here on The Grill. Going to catch you up with Paul Espy. He's going to give us his thoughts ahead of the US Open, which gets underway on Monday.
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti, the best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
You've got Newcastle against West Ham, live coverage and commentary of that one from 6 o'clock right here on your station, your Premier League station here in the UAE. Straight after that, Manchester United against Leicester. But all the goals in the Premier League as and when they go in from 6 o'clock. Lots of sport to look forward to in the coming weeks and months, and we don't have to wait long for the final Grand Slam of 2017. US Open starts on Monday.
That's exactly right. Starts on Monday in the Big Apple. But before the US Open can occur, you have the Cincinnati Masters. This is a tournament that's really close to my heart, as I used to attend it when I lived down in Cincinnati. And Gregor Dimitrov, the 7th seed, had a very, very hard, tough match from fan favorite Nick Kyrgios. This is a name in tennis. If you follow tennis, you'll know Nick Kyrgios is a rising star from down under. He put up a heck of a fight, and he thanked his mom in his speech.
First of all, I just want to congratulate Gregor. It's been great to see you back in the top form, and I know you always had it in you. Just right back to the Australian Open, you know, I was watching in Miami, and it was incredible, and it's great to see you doing so well again. Everyone, you know, came out to support me. I know you're probably going for Gregor today, but it's okay. All the sponsors involved, Ball Kids, everyone, obviously my team, Matty Reid, you've been helping me so much. Steve Drips, you've been helping me a lot. And my mom, obviously, she travels with me and she does my washing and all that sort of stuff. So she takes care of me well. But yeah, special thanks to Gregor again. I was struggling a couple of weeks ago, and you know, he got me out of the practice court, and we practiced for an hour and a half, and I was struggling, and he was fresh. So that was he had me mentally today already. I was like, I know this guy's fitter than me, so I got a lot of work to do. But yeah, it was a great week, so I'm looking forward to coming here next year, and this place is awesome. But I'm going to go to Graders after, so whoever wants to come, I'm there. So.
Oh, I love him. Is he like Marmite?
He's a wordsmith. He's a wordsmith. He's just great.
Looking forward to this one, though. So it promises to be a good one. A lot of unanswered questions with regards to the final Grand Slam of the year.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Everyone wants to see Nadal in that final again, but will we see it on the hard court against Federer? Probably not when it comes down to the Big Apple. But one man who can help us paint the picture is Mr. Paul Espy himself. I think we have Paul Espy on the line. Good day to you, Paul.
How you doing, guys? You okay?
Yeah, we're doing just fine. So, Paul, should I get my hopes up to see a Federer-Nadal final in the U.S. Open?
Well, I don't know about Nadal, but I think Federer's got a pretty good chance to get there. He surely goes in as the favourite.
He goes in as the favourite, Paul, but of course he sat out Cincinnati. Back trouble, I think it was, that was once again rearing its ugly head. Was that all just precautionary, though? Is Roger looking to just ensure that he is fighting fit heading into what we do know is a pretty a grueling fortnight, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, you and I are probably two of his biggest fans, so I'm certainly hoping that. And just getting back to the Kyrgios interview, wasn't that just a fantastic interview from somebody who's had so much stick over such a long period of time? And it wasn't your boring sort of, you know, oh, thanks to everyone, thanks to the crowd, thanks. It was funny, it was witty, and I don't know. This is why I like the guy. He's box office.
Paul, do you think Nick Kyrgios really has what it takes to actually win a Grand Slam? Does he have the tools right now in his arsenal to beat the top players in the world?
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's proven that. Obviously, even beating Nadal on the way through to Cincinnati's final. He's beaten him at Wimbledon. He's beaten some big names in slams before. But for me, Kyrgios is a bit of an enigma. I mean, at the end of the day, if he wakes up in the morning, he just doesn't feel it. He's not gonna push himself, and hopefully he'll mature. You know, you guys know that I'm a big fan because I just think that the game needs something spicy, should we say? Because you know, once we lose the likes of Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, Murray, there's not that much coming along that really sort of excites even your crazy tennis fan like myself.
Paul, switching over to the women's side of things, Maria Sharapova's return from her drug suspension hits a little speed bump because her opening round match is against #2 seed Simona Halep. This is going to be the most buzzworthy match, wouldn't you say, of the first round on the ladies' side?
Well, I mean, you know, certainly it's interesting, but for me, you know, I'm a very big critic of Sharapova. I don't think she should be allowed wild cards into events. I think it sends all the wrong messages, especially to kids, you know, coming up in the game. And, you know, this is exactly the reason why you don't want to have a Sharapova in the draw right now, because if Simona Halep gets her first round, she's not that fresh. You know, who's to say that, you know, you lose a fantastic opportunity for Halep to possibly, you know, she's done well at the moment. And if she gets Sharapova, what happens if Sharapova comes through that match? I don't know. I just think that, you know, that's the exact reason not to have Sharapova in the draw. You don't want her to take people out that she has got the opportunity to do and possibly spoil the draw later on, because Sharapova can't win the U.S. Open. I'll be surprised if she even gets through this match. You know, she's always struggling with injury.
Paul, just coming back, if we can, to the men's side of the draw. We talked about Nick Kyrgios there, and we all know, regular listeners will know, you're a huge fan of Nick, despite the fact that he does have this questionable temperament, to say the least. Just a quick word on Gregor Dimitrov. I think it would be remiss of us not to forget that it was he that was victorious at the Cincinnati Masters. Do you give him any chance whatsoever of making a splash at Flushing Meadows over the next couple of weeks?
You know, Dimitrov is amongst that kind of group, isn't he? I think you and I have spoken about this at length, you know, with Rajanic, with Nishikori, that, you know, you've been waiting for these to step up and take over from the big four. And I mean, obviously, he plays very similar to Federer. You know, he's a fantastic player to watch. And so, you know, you want him to do well because you just think, well, actually, you've got the game. But I just think mentally he's so frail and fragile. He just doesn't seem to be able to deliver it in a slam. And I don't see, you know, with a decent draw, I don't see him going past the quarters and semis at best. But I would hope I'm wrong. I mean, in an ideal world, I think I'd like to see him versus Federer in the final.
And on the women's side, going back there if we can, and Ross is right to bring that up, no, Serena, of course, has left the women's draw so wide open. Yes, okay, we've seen Yelena Ostapenko come to the fore. We've seen Garbiñe Muguruza winning Wimbledon. Who should we be keeping an eye on in this one? Because it is just so open once again, is it not?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think it's just a question of close your eyes and stick a pin there, because I really don't have a clue. I think Garbiñe Muguruza will probably go in as the favourite for the tournament, I think deservedly so. She was unbelievable in that final against Halep. I mean, that was, you know, ladies versus children. It was very, very strange, that match. You know, Halep, whether or not she froze was another matter, but, you know, Garbiñe Muguruza, when she's on form, she's kind of, for me, she's the Serena Williams of this era right now. If she's on form, she will win, and it's just whether or not if she gets through a few early rounds, you know, because there's always a couple of difficult first, second round matches, then, yeah, I think the later she gets in the draw, the more likely she's going to win the whole thing, because I think at her peak, she's on a different level right now.
Give it a name then, SB. Who's going to be your men's champion, and who's going to be your women's champion 2017?
Right. Okay. Well, that's an easy one. I'm gonna say Federer's gonna do it, and he's gonna get back his number one slot, because that's why he's taking some time out this week. And for the ladies, do you know what? I'm gonna make a very bold one, bold statement here. I think Konta's gonna do it. I'm gonna root for the Brits on this one.
So we're going to record those. We'll be back in touch with you in 2 weeks' time to see how you fared on those. One we won't have to wait for that long for the results is, of course, tomorrow morning. We've been asking everyone throughout the show. I know you love your sport. You love your boxing. Mayweather or McGregor?
Come on. This winds me off, this whole thing, and you guys know it winds me off. You know, I just can't even believe it. There's a question mark in it. This is, for me, it's like me playing Roger Federer and thinking that I've got a chance. Come on, let's be realistic. You know, I play tennis, but
you do, mate.
I don't play at that level. So I think, you know, let's be real. Mayweather is going to beat him. It's gonna be a fun spectacle. I'm going to watch it. I'm one of the crazy ones that will watch it, but it's going to be Mayweather.
SB, always good to catch up with you. Thanks, mate, for your insight. Enjoy the US Open. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll catch up with you soon.
Take care, guys. Like, nice to speak to you.
Nice to speak to Paul SB there. Obviously, more from Paul in the coming weeks and months as we get ready for the sporting calendar here in the UAE as well. We're going to take a short break when we come back. We're going to wrap things up. Looking ahead to the 6 o'clock kickoffs in the Premier League, letting you know if there's any goals scored in the Bundesliga. But also giving final thoughts ahead of tomorrow's big fight, the money fight, if you like, Mayweather against McGregor.
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti. The best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Peter, thank you very much indeed for your text messages. Loads of texts coming in on 4001. Loads of thoughts coming in on social media as well, at Dubai Eye Sports. Stay tuned throughout the week for updates. Peter wants to know what time the actual fight is likely to get underway.
Good, very, very, very good question, Peter. Honestly, we do not know. I suspect that the guys are going to milk it. There's obviously an undercard that determines when these guys are going to be walking out and making their entrance to the ring. But I would be looking, honestly, I would look at around about the 8:30, potentially even later tomorrow morning. That is UAE time. So ensure that the boss is aware that you're going to be a little late to work tomorrow morning, because you may not get in until the back of 10.
Or just come down, join us on the pay-per-view, right, on the agenda, and watch it.
You can do that as well. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a queue. We've got our subscription.
Bassi's eyes will be glued to the fight. Huh?
She will be.
Listen, Christo, we're about to wrap things up, but I need to give you the platform, please. Tell us what's going on in US sport at the moment.
Well, gentlemen, does the name Giancarlo Silva mean anything to you?
No.
Well, it certainly will, because it'll be a name like Barry Bonds. That name rings a bell if you ever heard of American baseball players, because Barry Bonds hit 73 home runs in a single season when he was 36 years old in 2001. Giancarlo Stanton belted two more last night for number 48 and 49, and he is flirting with the record.
He's with five home runs in 13 games.
Stanton drives it! Deep left field! 48 is out of here! Goodness! Wow! Cruz has done it again! The
48 on the season. It's almost as if it's an introduction to every new team, every new series. Stanton drives this one. Right field. That's deep. Flashes back. 49 is out of here. He can't be stopped. Giancarlo, a one-man wrecking crew.
John Carlin Stanton. He has 13 games left for the Miami Marlins in the season. He's on pace for 63 home runs. Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa two other times all have more than Roger Maris's 61 home runs. But a lot of those people look at those records as flawed because Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, and Barry Bonds all took steroids, and Roger Maris did not. John Carlos Stanton does not use steroids, so he might be the first non-steroid baseball home run record king. Chris, I got some bad news for you. I know you are a bandwagon Patriots fan. Tom Brady is going to be out with his favorite weapon. It's looking like Julian Edelman went down in the final preseason game with what looks to be a torn ACL. He is one of the biggest targets for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots.
We'll see, what the extent of it is. We're all hoping for the best. It's tough anytime a teammate goes down. So, we've all been playing long enough where when someone does, other people have to step in and fill the void. Hopefully that's not the case, but, we'll figure out tomorrow. We've played together for a long time. I think there's great chemistry in what we're doing, and he's just an incredible player and teammate, and like I said, we're all hoping for the best. So hopefully he can, whatever tests they have to do, come back positively. So we'll try to do our best to kind of lift his spirits if we can, and see what happens.
As good as Julian Edelman is, Ross, and he is very good in the slot, we are talking about Bill Belichick, we are talking about Tom Brady. It is worth reminding as well, they were without Rob Gronkowski for that Super Bowl. If any team, and you know this as well as anyone, any team can still get the job done without some of their key men, it is the Patriots.
Yeah, they just keep plugging away. Danny Amendola will take that slot position now. He's their most expensive receiver on their team, so he'll take over for Edelman. You have a healthy Rob Gronkowski coming back who sat out the second half of last year. Tom Brady has his weapons. He has White back in the backfield, so this Patriots team will be very, very good. Let's not forget, guys, 2017 season kicks off September 7th, 8:30 Eastern time. The defending Super Bowl champions, New England Patriots, hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. Football is back.
Big thanks to Christo for putting us in the picture there on all things US sport. Thank you very much indeed to Kartik as well. McGregor and Mayweather is like a triathlete going head-to-head against a specialist cyclist or a runner. No way a specialist can lose to a multidisciplinary athlete, not at that level. Thank you very much indeed, Kartik. A very quick one from the Bundesliga that's underway. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games underway. No goals in any of the matches apart from the Augsburg game. Augsburg are playing Borussia Mönchengladbach. It's one apiece after 21 minutes. No goals in the other ones. Keep an eye on Werder Bremen against Bayern Munich. 20 minutes in there. We're getting ready for our 6 o'clock kickoffs. Obviously, Manchester United against Leicester comes at 8:30. Before that, Newcastle against West Ham. But there are three other games in the Premier League.
There are, yes. Crystal Palace, they take on Swansea. This one, a big match for both managers. I'm saying that again, but it is for both Frank de Boer and Paul Clement, respectively. I'm looking at the two teams. It's amazing how much football formations change, isn't it, in terms of the formations that come into vogue and others that don't. It appears that the back three now, as most teams in the Premier League are playing it, and that was all, of course, after Antonio Conte had great success with it last season. Both of these teams, both Palace and Swansea, line up with back threes this afternoon. There is a debut for Swansea's record-breaking signing, Sam Clucas, a $15 million signing. Huge sum of money for a player that cost Hull just $1.5 million from Chesterfield a little over 2 years ago. But he is in the Swansea starting lineup this afternoon, as is for Crystal Palace, James McArthur. He's been brought in after a goal-scoring return to the team in midweek
in that League Cup. So that is Palace against Swansea. Huddersfield, they take on Southampton. Of course, Huddersfield, like Manchester United and West Brom, a team who has got a 100% record from the opening two games of the season. They look attacking. Thomas Ince once again starts in the hole. Aaron Mooy, the man that scored the winner against Newcastle last weekend, he is again in the engine room. And Watford against Brighton. Watford, so impressive in their 2-0 win over Bournemouth last week. I'm a big fan of their boss, Marco Silva. I thought he did a good job at Hull despite their relegation last season. They've gone very attacking indeed. Andre Gray will lead the line. Their record signing from Burnley. He will be ably assisted by the Brazilian Richarlison, who is a very exciting young talent for Brighton. Well, they themselves are looking for their first points of the season. Tomer Hamad will lead the line. Anthony Knockier comes in at the left wing spot. So big matches. Looking forward to those four matches. The big one, of course, from 8:30. It is Manchester United against Leicester City.
Happy that Ibra's back at the end of the season?
Yeah, and interesting. I think we all expected him to sign on for another season. Of course, he is injured. He won't be fit, we don't expect, until January. But a fine signing. Someone who brings a lot of experience. Scored 28 goals in his debut campaign in the Premier League. A great individual, a great personality to have around the dressing room and around the training ground. I just hope Jose sticks to his guns. I'm looking forward to seeing Zlatan, yes, back in a red shirt, but let us hope that he isn't being guaranteed starts, if that makes sense. I want to see him earning his place in that team. But listen, he's on a free. Yes, okay, he's earning a big salary, but if he comes back to anywhere near the form that we saw last season, he'll be a welcome addition.
Good signing if they go well in Europe as well.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, the Champions League draw made earlier this week. They've got a pretty straightforward group, it's got to be said. Benfica, Bale and CSKA Moscow. I'd expect Manchester United to negotiate their way through that into the knockout stages of the Champions League, and then bringing in someone like Zlatan is a heck of an addition as you head into the knockout stages of the UEFA Champions League. So it appears to be a win-win for Manchester United and for Zlatan.
Stay tuned. You've got Newcastle against West Ham coming up live, plus all the goals in the Premier League. Dubai Eye 103.8 is your official Premier League station here in the UAE, so make sure you keep it locked for all the latest from the Premier League. That's about it from us. You've got Manchester United against Leicester straight after that live coverage. Big thanks to the team down here. Chris McCarty, how do people stay in touch with you?
Yeah, Dubai Eye Sport is the one to follow on Twitter and on Instagram as well, and we will be live from Robbie's front room tomorrow morning on Business Breakfast. We are watching the fight with a few selected listeners. They'll be coming on down. Big thanks as well to Deliveroo. They are providing the food, so we'll look forward to that one in the morning. Fingers crossed, we get a fight that lives up to the hype. My own personal opinion is we probably won't.
And thanks also to that man over there, Ross Christo. Always a man to proffer an opinion when it comes to sport. If people want to get in touch, Christo, best way for them to do so?
Yeah, Dubai Eye Sport or Ross Talks on Instagram and Twitter.
Come on, final thoughts to you ahead of tomorrow. As you said, you started the show being saying we'd talk about this for the last 2 years. Well, will we be talking about it for 2 years after?
Well, first off, I just hope Robbie Greenfield throws a good party. I hope the outdoors are amazing because I need some orange juice in the morning. I think we're finally going to see Floyd Mayweather give us a treat in the ring. He's going to dance around Conor McGregor. He's going to toy with him. And poor Conor McGregor, I think, is going to be injured very badly at the end of this fight.
Loads to look forward to, whether it's the fight game you're into, whether it's the Premier League. We haven't even got on to the Challenge Cup final. That kicks off at Wembley. Hull FC taking on Wigan Warriors in the World of Rugby League. Final match of the season between those two titans. That's getting underway at Wembley in the next couple of minutes. It's live on Showtime as well. Plus, of course, the Women's World Cup final. That's a little later on, 10:45 this evening. Just don't know where to start. Big thank you to each and every one of you for your text messages and your feedback. We're back next Saturday between the hours of 3 and 6. Until then, sit down, enjoy West Ham against Newcastle. That's your feature game here on Dubai Eye. Goodbye.
See you next Saturday for more sport, more fans, and more balls. With an eye on sport, this is Dubai Eye 103.8.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.